Venture into the shadows with hosts Jordan and Ashley as they peel back the veil to reveal in-depth images into a different realm. One of strange events, places, occurrences, phenomena, and sometimes even horror. Join them as they journey through the spooky door.
On this episode, I talked to Karita and Viva from Hidden Marietta, a tour and events company based out of Marietta, Ohio, specializing in the weird, the shocking, and the spooky side of history, from ghost tours, paranormal research, and events such as the annual Hidden Marietta Paranormal Expo. They share some funny and sometimes rattling stories of things that happen on some of their ghost tours. They tell the background of the infamously haunted Anchorage Mansion, which the Hidden Marietta operates out of, and some of the strange occurrences that are known to happen there, ranging from the typical bumps in the night to even one particular spirit who has a very specific taste in music. So grab a flashlight and take a walk through the spooky door.
So go ahead and explain rather quickly, like, what is the Hidden Marietta?
You want me to explain it?
Yes.
Okay. So Hidden Marietta is a tour company in Marietta, Ohio. We were founded in 2008, and then the company was sold to Jessica Wolitzka in 2015. After that, Megan Keller became an owner, and then Viva and myself as well. So there's four owners right now, and we offer various tours, walking tours throughout our town. They're mainly history, and then we focus a little bit on like the spooky stories, the true crime stories and things like that, legends and lore throughout the town. We've also expanded our tours to the Anchorage Mansion, which is where we're in right now. We have a two-story gift shop here as well, curiosity shop. So our downstairs room is like witchy, dark, gothic type items. And then upstairs is more like
fairy tale, cottage Victorian,
cottage core. Mm-hmm. So we've definitely got something for everybody in our store as well. We also hold investigations, private events, public events. We have multiple locations that we are working with now. We're not only in Marietta, Ohio, we've also branched out to Parkersburg, West Virginia, where we have our one of our probably most popular events.
Yes.
Is Blennerhassett Island. So that's actually, we take a boat to an island, has incredible history. It's amazing. And there's a rebuilt replica mansion on the island from the original that burnt in 1811. Mm-hmm. And we are left there overnight. The staff leaves the island, the boat leaves the island, and we camp out with our group overnight. We have like about 3 miles.
Yeah.
A little over 3 miles.
A little bit over three, yeah.
To explore. There's multiple buildings on it. We actually sleep where the natives would have, you know, buried their fellow Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So it's really crazy. It's the only place I've ever been scared. which is weird. Tell everybody that, because I don't get freaked out. I don't get scared. And that's, it was only like a 30-second, like, that was it. It was quick.
So
it's out of me.
Yeah.
That was actually a question I was going to ask is, like, how did you guys get started into all this?
Well, I got started through Jessica, the second original owner for Hidden Marietta. I actually worked at a hotel here in Marietta, Ohio, called the Lafayette Hotel. She came there just to get some stories about the building and get some history and do a little investigation in the building as well. And I was pretty well just hooked since then. She hasn't been able to get rid of me since that, literally that night. I've been like by her side through all of the things. And I've been with Hidden Marietta,
2017?
Yeah, since 2017. So I've been with Hidden Marietta for a while. So this is pretty much like my home away from home, honestly.
But the spooky paranormal part of it, especially Viva and I, since childhood have been.
Yes.
In that, like, I grew up with it being a normal occurrence.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
there were things in our house and my family mm-hmm. acknowledged it. And I say since birth, because my name has a paranormal connection. So
yeah,
we've kind of always been into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same way. That's one of the reasons why we started the podcast, because I've also been in many, many weird shit since I've pretty much been a kid. So I totally get it. So what, like, What inspired you to really start like doing the ghost tours? Like, what really drove you like into doing that? Was it the paranormal aspect, or was it more the historic part, or is it kind of both together?
For me, kind of both, but we all feel strongly that you can't really have a paranormal side without the history, and you can't have history and not have something paranormal connected to it. So to me, it's kind of one and the same.
Mm-hmm. They kind of go hand in hand, in my opinion. I think the one thing that we always focus on is learning the history of the location. That way we know once we're going in there to investigate, we know who we're trying to make contact with. We know the background. We know the things to say, the things not to say. And I think that's kind of vital when it comes to paranormal investigations. You have to know what you're stepping into before you try to make that contact, because sometimes when you don't have that, that connection with the location, you kind of lose sight of what you're actually there for, and that's to get genuine evidence of the paranormal.
Is Marietta, is that one that's considered like a very haunted town?
Very.
Very. Okay.
Yeah, so we're the first settlement in Ohio.
Okay.
We are on the confluence of two rivers. Mm-hmm. So obviously, a lot of people think that energy and the flow of the water really amps things up as well. Mm-hmm. So you've never been here?
I've never been to Marietta, no.
No, but you're coming next week, right?
Yes, I'll be here for the expo. Yeah, we'll be there for the expo.
Yeah, awesome.
So you'll have to come and explore. I mean, we still have original brick streets.
Yeah.
We have, the building we're in right now was built in 1859. So we've got, the building's older than this one in town, a lot older. And
we have
our streets are just amazing.
A Native American burial mound right in the center of an American Revolutionary War cemetery. Mm-hmm. Multiple earthwork mounds of the natives that used to live here. There were several different Native American tribes that passed through here, so this area was really, really considered someplace that was spiritual for them. Some of them to name is like the Adena, the Hopewell, the Shawnee, the Miami, the
I don't even know. I don't even know what you've said so far.
There are so many. Honestly, they were here for so many centuries.
Well, being right on the confluence of the river, that's how they got around, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
The first place that they would be able to stop where they would head further out.
Yes.
It's very, very rich in history.
Very, very.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Anchorage Mansion you guys are in right now?
Sure. I can talk for hours about the
Anchorage. I mean, you guys have this like really awesome set piece, like right, like you guys
I know.
End, so you might as well like talk about it a little bit.
It was 1859 by Douglas and Eliza Putnam. It's an Italianate structure. I don't want to give too much away because you need to come on a tour.
Exactly. Yeah.
Miss Eliza designed the house piece by piece, which was really unheard of for the time for a woman to be that involved in it from the get-go. But she was very stubborn and wanted to make it exactly her.
And Douglas was very accommodating.
Yeah,
when
here's
it came
the money.
To,
go ahead and build it.
Yeah, basically. Yes.
He definitely. Great husband.
He was awesome. We love him.
So the first tragedy, though, that happened with the home actually was as they were building it, Douglas's factory burnt down, and they had to pause building and then redo the factory and then come back to building the home. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they only lived here for 3 years before Miss Eliza passed away upstairs. So she didn't get to enjoy it very long, but she is still here today. We see her all the time. We talk to her all the time.
Another cool aspect about the room that we're currently in, which is the parlor room, this is actually where her funeral would have been held when she did pass away. Yeah. There's a.
I don't know if you can't see it. There's all this light coming.
Say, let me take it a little bit over there.
The light may not even work. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, so her casket would have actually been right in the center of that bay. I know, now it's all wonky, the whatever. Her casket was actually put right in the center of the bay window area. So a parlor room with a big bay window area, basically they were planning on using it for several different events, not just joyous events, but also really somber, really sad events like funerals and whatnot.
So we know of at least four previous residents that had their wake and funeral.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right here, as well as other family members too, but four residents that lived
four
in the
of like the primary owners.
Yeah,
of
and
the
then
house.
The crazy thing about the house was after the last private owner passed away in 1862, the house was then sold to a hospital group, and it became the Anchorage Nursing Christian Nursing Home.
Christian Anchorage.
Oh man.
Yeah. So we have tried and tried to find death records associated with the house, and it's near impossible. I mean, there's no way we get them all.
Yeah.
We kind of did them by going through obituaries piece by piece.
Yeah. It's, I think because if anybody knows about like medical stuff, it's mostly just a HIPAA thing. Obviously, once HIPAA came into effect, that pretty much put all of those records.
That, and unfortunately, with our newspaper, it was not digitized until the 2000s. So we literally have to go through the old films piece by piece and look at all the obituaries and see if it lists like the passed away here.
Shout out to the genealogy library.
So, and then it was abandoned for 10 years before the Historical Society, who owns the building now, took ownership of it. They actually bought the building for a dollar.
In
1996. Yeah, guys, talking about the HIPAA violation, we interviewed Mark Sebastian Jordan, who he's a playwright and also a storyteller up at the Mansfield Prison. And he covered the Celia Rose murder, and he's been trying to trace back. He actually found her gravesite. He was trying to find stuff about her at her. She went to Lima Insane Asylum, and he was trying to find all her documents. And they're like, "We need a person of her family." And he's like, "Nobody's left."
Right.
And they're like, "We still can't give this to you." And it's like, he's like, "I'm a historian. I'm trying to like find more about the story." And they're like, "No, we can't give it to you."
Like after so many years, and when there's no like next of kin connection or anything, you think somebody else would be able to, you know, take that on.
Well, technically, after a certain amount of years, it does fall off to where it becomes public record, but it just takes forever for that to happen. Yeah. It takes so long, honestly.
Yeah. The other crazy thing here is that a lot of our historic records were lost in floods.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we're right on the water. So that's been a pain as well, trying to find records that are, you know, destroyed. And
yeah, the biggest flood that Marietta has had was the 1913 flood, was the worst natural disaster of Ohio.
Still.
So that was pretty bad.
So when did you guys start doing the expo, and how did that come about?
This is our fifth, I believe.
Yes, technically it's our
We skipped 2021.
Yes. 2021 we did skip, because 2020 we did ours in January.
And then COVID hit.
So like we really got in
We sat and had a conversation during our investigation about like, did you guys hear about that COVID stuff?
Yeah.
And then bam.
I know. We were just like, oh, it's probably just like a like the flu or whatever. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And then quarantine.
Yeah. But at least we got our expo in first.
Yes.
So really we just made it as a place to, you know, bring like-minded people together and a safe place for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool. We have people that will come dressed in costume and just a place for our people to be together. And
yeah. And honestly, it really just feels like everybody's kind of coming home. We kind of find that we have a lot of vendors and a lot of people that attend the expo that have come every single year religiously, that have come to support us to do tours and do investigations here at the building. And it's really just like a family reunion, just hanging out with your friends and your family, honestly.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I found out about it, and then we decided to have a booth there too. So we're going to be there. So I'm really excited that we're going to be there, and we're also going to be like, I'm excited to go to it. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I've had a lot of vendors send me messages and say like, "Hey, how can I shop if I'm set up?" Don't worry, we got you. We'll come sit at your booth. Yeah. Like, it's okay, because so many people are like, "I really want to be set up, but I really want to walk around."
Yeah. And we have like a bunch of people that work within Hidden Marietta. So we always try to make it to where everybody can rotate out and either watch a booth while people stop or go grab something to eat or have like a bathroom break and stuff. So we always try to make sure, even though like these vendors are not our business, they're still our friends and family. So we always want to make sure we take care of.
I mean, we have people come from like, you know, states away, but the paranormal community really is a small community. Like,
yes.
Yeah, you think it'd be bigger, but it's like really small. I go to the conventions and I always like see like, I went to a convention in California and I saw someone in Detroit.
Wow.
like I see people like all over the place. Like, it's very small. Mm-hmm. And I love that about the community though.
Yeah.
It's like all there.
Maybe it's not even that it's small. We're all just so like friendly and accepting.
Yeah. It just feels like you've known them for years. So it's like, hey.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny when people will come on our tours, especially the ones that want to come mainly for the history aspect. And I think a lot of the times they get the first impression by looking at us, like we wear dark clothing and dark makeup and we have a curiosity shop and we go try to find ghosts. And
yeah,
I think that they think that you're rude or that you're, I don't know, closed off or something. And then they'll come and they'll hang out with us and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how nice you guys were and how accepting you were. And we're like, why wouldn't we be? Like,
I know.
Yeah. Well, so
it's most people into this are like, we're geeks.
Right.
we're geeks about anything else. It's just like,
I'm just like to wear black clothes. There's
right.
Nothing.
Right.
Like, yeah. I'm just about the same as you.
Yeah. No, we have people say it all the time that'll come in and you can tell, like, especially if they just come into the shop, not even on a tour, and they're like kind of timid and they'll be like, you know, reserved. And then we'll start talking to them and get them talking. And they're like, oh my gosh, you guys are so nice.
Yeah. And I'm an extrovert. I talk to anybody. I can.
She can.
I do it every time.
Even when we don't want her to.
Okay. You know what? We're going to leave it there.
So what's some crazy stuff that's happened on some of your ghost tours?
Oh gosh. So much.
I know. We do actually have like quite a few things that happen during our tours or during our investigations.
Yeah.
One of the ones that happened to me just recently, just like a couple months ago, actually, I was doing a flashlight tour. And I was up in the servants' quarters here at the Anchorage. I was doing the flashlight tour here. And I was up in the servants' quarters. Excuse me. There were about like 22 people in my group. And there, out of all those people, there were like maybe 3 or 4 guys there. So we're up there. I'm telling everybody about the spooky stories back there. You know, it's the flashlight tour. So it's really like, and I always do like a sort of dramatic pause in between two sentences. And just as I paused for everybody's like reaction to that, right in front of me, all of us in that small, it's a pretty large servants area, that hallway though, but like when once you have 22 like 22 people in there, it's kind of cramped. But every single person in that hallway right in front of me heard a man go, like laugh, like belly laugh at what I said. And I know this house like the back of my hand, and I normally don't use a flashlight during my flashlight tours, but I turned my flashlight on so freaking fast. And I had to immediately look for every single guy that was in the group because it was right in my face. So I turned my flashlight on. Every guy was accounted for. They were further away from me. And everybody was like, what the f- was that? And I was just like, okay, so that wasn't anybody in the group, right? I'm just making sure, like, that wasn't anybody, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody started freaking out. And then it got, like, super, super cold in there. Like, it felt like there was, like, a gust of wind just blowing right in between all of us. And everybody was just like, we gotta go. And I was like, okay, please, single file line, like a teacher. I was like, nobody get hurt. Be careful on the steps, please. And everybody was just like, yeah, I gotta go. So needless to say, once we actually came down from the servants' quarters, it was like Survivor. About 3 or 4 people ended up bowing out and was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. And they just left.
Is that the one where the one lady had a panic attack and went to the hospital?
That was a different one. That was a different one.
Same area during, I think it was.
Which building is this again?
This is at the Anchorage.
One you guys are in, okay.
Yeah. We're hanging right now.
No big deal.
You get used to it. But in the same area, the servants' quarters. So we had our flashlight tour is, you know, late at night when it's actually dark. So we had a group come in. I think there was only like 6 or 7 people in this group. And one of our guides was doing the tour that night. But before the group, I was, you know, mingling with the people and getting to know them. And there was this guy that was like 6'2", like, you know, really muscular, like, I ain't afraid of no ghost type guy. And he had, I think, his two daughters with him who are like teenagers.
Yeah.
And he, you know, beefing himself up, like, this isn't going to be anything. I don't need a flashlight, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, that's fine. So they go, they've done the downstairs of the tour. I'm still sitting in our shop while she's giving the tour. And all of a sudden, he comes running into the shop, like, can't catch his breath, panicking. And he's like, can I please sit in here? Can I please sit in here? And I'm like, yeah. Like, are you okay? Like, do I need to call 911? Like, what's happening? And he swears that, so he walked up there. There's like a hallway and two rooms. The group was like in the hallway. He walked into the side room and he said as soon as he got in there, he felt somebody like slam him in the chest and squeeze him really hard. And this guy was a bull rider, okay? Yeah. Like, that was his profession. Like, he tackled the group of young girls to get out of there, like, knocked them to the ground, run out of that room, ran downstairs and sat with me. And he was like, I am not going back up there. I'm not going back into that house. Nope. I'm not going to go sit in my car by myself. I'll sit right here with you until they're done. And then I'm leaving. I'm out.
Yep.
And he's like, I've never felt anything like that before. You know, he was like flipping out. And it's always, you know, the big ones that fall the hardest.
Yeah.
It was pretty hilarious to me, but this, it was that same area.
Yeah. This past weekend, the couple that came to visit, we did a like special guest investigation this past weekend with Paranormal Quest. They're like they have a YouTube channel and everything. And they're super awesome. We love working with them. But this couple had never actually done any sort of investigations. They've gone to places that are haunted, like Trans-Allegheny and Mansfield, and they did not have a good time in any of those locations. So we were kind of just like, damn, like, I hope
like we better set it
tonight,
up.
Yeah, it's actually going to be good for them. And they went into the night, we did the tour, they started their investigation, and like one thing after another, after another, and they just kept having stuff happen to them. Eventually, towards the end of the evening, I'm sitting in the shop, you know, I don't like to hover over people. I always go check on people and everything. But for the most part, I let people experience the building for themselves. I don't like to be the type of person that tries to put like seeds in people's heads of like, oh, well, this thing happens and that thing happens. Yeah. I want people to have genuine experiences and not just it be like a placebo effect. So I'm sitting in the shop talking to the girl that I'm working with that night, and they, like, she busted through the door like the Kool-Aid man. She, like, came charging in there. She was hyperventilating. She was breathing heavy, crying, and everything. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And the husband's chasing after her. She like, shoots out the shop. And I, like, run outside with her. And she's, like, kneeled, like, bent over off the side of the porch, like, having a full-fledged panic attack.
Aww.
And her husband's like, I don't know what happened. It just looked like something hit her, something hit her. And, she, and I'm like, oh my God. And I did the same thing. I'm like, do I need to call like 911?
Yeah.
Like, and I was just hugging her. That's all I could think to do was just hug her. And like, eventually she's not a smoker, but her husband was, and she was like, give me a cigarette.
Oh no.
Like, she, and I sat outside with her. Her husband was like in the background, like pacing, smoking, like chain smoking.
Oh my God.
Out. And I just sat with her on the porch and just held her while she smoked a cigarette. And she was like, I don't know what happened. It just felt like something hit me. And he felt like the air from it or something. And she said she just instantly couldn't breathe. She felt anxious. Mm-hmm. And she felt like everything was like closing in on her. She had to get out of there. And I don't even know which area she was in, but like, sometimes people do have those experiences.
That's what I say. Sometimes, but like the house, I mean, it's definitely active, but most of, you know, the activity we have here is pretty mellow. It's we have a guy that we call a little bit perverted that'll like pinch your butt, things that. So like most of it's like random stuff like that. But we do have, and those, I don't know if it's maybe people that just react a little bit easier.
Yeah.
To things.
And I think maybe she might have just been sensitive and put in a situation
and never
like
had that happen before.
And never had anything like that happen before. It just hit her twice as hard as it would have hit like you or me or you. So it was just a lot. It was super, super intense. And you could just, even Jade, the girl that was working with me that night, she said when she came busting through the door, she
knew.
It felt like a wall just of energy just hit all of us in there. It was insane. But
so if I can tell you about the one time I was scared.
Okay.
It is a good one.
You seem like you just like walk into a dark room and be like, yeah, sure, whenever I'm here.
I don't care. Like, we were Trans Allegheny. We were in one of the rooms and they're like, Karita, you want to sit here by yourself? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they all walk out. And then one of our fellow co-owners is like, nope, you are not standing there by yourself. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm used to it. Been surrounded by it. But yeah. So
you guys also work there, so it's like you're just that's
here, we're here by ourselves all the time.
Yes.
So we were at Blennerhassett Island, and it was like I said, we're there all night long. So it was like probably 3-4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's no street lights, you know, you're literally on an island.
On the entire island.
So we have a bonfire going, and the natural resource officer was there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting on one end of the picnic table. Me and two of our guides were on the other end of the picnic table. And there's one building that has the bathroom in it. And it does have a light on the top of it, mm-hmm. just to show you, like, hey, it's the bathroom. And we were sitting, talking, no big deal. On the island, we had mentioned the natives being there on the island. And there are these things that they call the watchers on the island. Watchers? Walkers? I always mess that up.
The watchers.
So they are basically, like, huge 10-foot tall black figures, I guess is the best way to explain it. And they will see them like darting in and out of the woods.
Sounds like a Wendigo.
So we don't know. Yes, of the people that investigated, is it something connected with the natives that kind of watches the land?
Basically, sounds like a Wendigo.
Really?
A lot of people have said that could possibly be a Wendigo, but
all we know is it's a giant black thing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of timid. But it'll like, you know, peek out behind trees, things like that. And I've
It's not Wendigo then.
Because
Wendigos are not timid.
So I've seen it like kind of peek out from trees, things like that. There, no big deal. You know, like Iron City Paranormal caught an actual picture of it stepping out from behind a tree, which is really cool. So we're standing there or sitting there, and I see something move out of the corner of my eye, and I turn and look, and this thing is walking on the side of that building where the light is, and it is literally bigger than the building. Like, I'm going to say it was bigger than 10 feet. Like, it was huge, and it's dark out, but it's darker than the dark. Like, I could not see through it. Like, it was just a black mass, and you can see its legs, like, separating as it walked across. And it scared me for a minute because it was like the full thing. I've never seen like the full body of it. And it was just walking, and I like jumped back like this, and my guide saw it at the same time. And then once it got to where the light was, it just disappeared. And then on the other side of the light, you could see it again. And it went into the woods. So the resource officer that was with us was like, what is it? What is it? Let's go. We're going to see what it is. And I, who always am the first to go, do not care. I was like, stop. I think it's like a bear or something.
Yeah, you swore it.
I was like, don't go after me. It's a bear. And then I was like, no, it's not. It would be like three bears standing on each other. Like, it's not a bear.
In a trench coat.
Basically.
what do you think it was?
It's whatever is on that island they have dubbed the Watcher. I don't know. If you get a chance, go to ironcityparanormal.org, I think it is.
I think so.
And you can scroll through all their investigations, and they do have a picture of one. Gosh, it's probably been 4 years or so, something like that.
2 years. Two?
No, three? I think it was longer than that. But yeah, so they have a picture of one. You can see like half of its body, like a leg and its arm and its head coming out from behind a tree, which is crazy. But I don't know what it is. That island is something else.
That island is absolutely insane, and so much so that it was actually featured on an episode of Ghost Hunters.
Yes.
Just this past
last spring, almost a year ago.
Almost
I think
a year?
They filmed last May. It didn't come out until Halloween last year.
Yes.
But they filmed last May.
It was like one of their Halloween specials that they premiered in October, but they filmed it in the springtime. Of course, we weren't associated with it. We weren't in the show or anything, but it was still really cool for them to be there on the island and be in a place that we have had so many experiences as well. So it was Ghost Hunters and the Ghost Brothers. It was like a collaborative.
We absolutely episode. Love the Ghost Brothers.
The Ghost Brothers are amazing.
They're our brothers.
We love them so much. They were on the island investigating, and you could probably find like the episode of that online and everything. And
they didn't see anything Channel with the everything. Watchers or anything when they were there, though.
Well, they did. I don't know. Because I don't think they did. Looking at the episode, they did have a few pieces of evidence and everything. And Dave Tango saw someone walking across one of the walkways. I think they may have caught that on camera. I can't quite remember. I haven't watched it for a little bit.
But nothing as cool as what we've seen on there.
Yes, nothing. Like. It's nothing like actually being there overnight, sleeping there, and having those experiences.
Like, we will be laying in our tent. And, I mean, we don't go to bed till 3 a.m. at least.
I don't hear nothing.
She doesn't. She puts headphones on. But we'll be because she doesn't want to hear it.
I learned my lesson.
We'll be laying in the tent, and you'll hear drums.
Like chanting, drums.
Chanting.
Footsteps. Weird.
It is so weird. And we have people that'll come on there and by themselves. Like, we have this one girl that's been on, I think, 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
She comes by herself completely. Like, sleeps in the tent by herself, investigates by herself.
She always
everything.
Has something.
And we were sitting one night watching, like, just waiting for people, because they use our equipment as well as their equipment, sitting, waiting for them to turn it in. And her tent, you can see somebody walking around her tent.
I remember that.
We're like, should we wake her up? Like,
yeah, we were like, oh, I don't know if we should wake her up.
And we didn't. So, but the next morning we were like, did you have anything happen last night? And she was like, well, when I was trying to go to sleep, somebody kept walking around my tent. And we were like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. That's one of my, that's probably my favorite.
I always find it so interesting that so many people like react to it so differently, different like things. Yeah. Like, I know people who are just like, yeah, whatever. I have a friend who woke up in the middle of the night because somebody was in his room and he drop kicked a ghost.
Yeah.
You thought someone was breaking into his house and he drop kicked it and it just vanished in front of him. He's like, and he told us about it. And then he was like, I had this weird thing. And we're like, what? He's like, yeah, I just drop kicked this thing that was in my room. And his house was like super creepy. Like, I hated his house. Oh, yeah. This old man made suicide. And it was just so weird. We're like, dude, you drop kicked a ghost? He's like, yeah. And he was just like, no, like, yeah, that's the way he was. And I know other people who are like, I heard a noise last night in my room, and they're like totally freaked out. It's like, probably your house settling.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to get those people too. Like, did you see that light flicker? And we're like,
oh my God. AC kicked off. Do you see that? Video with the flash on in the dusty attic.
Yeah,
it's totally orbs. And it's like, no, it's just us.
There's a fine line because, like, you don't want to be like, you're an idiot. That's not what that is.
Yes.
We try to let them down gently and explain.
The logistics. Yeah. You have to have a very skeptical mindset when it comes to the paranormal, because not every single thing that happens is something paranormal. So we'll try to let people down easy.
Have a genuine experience as well. Like she was saying earlier, we're not the kind of company that's going to be like, we're not going to set people up on the street as we're on a street tour, jump out and scare you. Yeah, we're not going to like make things up to make you scared. Like, we want you to have a genuine experience.
I like the fact that you guys are like more focused on the history part, and then like the paranormal part is like the secondary. Because I've done ghost tours where they're just trying to more focus on like paranormal. It's like, what's the historical reference of like being in this building.
Another cool thing. Oh, do you want to go first?
No, I was just gonna say we say what we do is edutainment.
Edutainment.
So we educate you, but we need to entertain you as
entertaining.
Well. And I wasn't like big on history when I was in school. You know, you have like the 80-year-old history teacher that's like,
no,
I was never big on it.
See, my history teacher was hot, so I paid attention.
I didn't get that. So learning about the stories and how it connects with a location in the paranormal aspect before I was interested in the history. So I like giving that to people.
See, and the cool thing about doing the tour for Blennerhassett Island is like, I always like see who's a Hamilton like nerd.
Are you a Hamilton fan?
Do you like Hamilton or have you watched?
I've actually never seen it. Ashley needs to be here with me because she would be like, yeah, I know all about it.
But the one cool thing, because obviously if you've heard about Hamilton, the play, or Alexander Hamilton in general.
Even if you haven't watched the play, even if you know the history.
The history overall is pretty interesting. They capture it in a very interesting sort of way. So I really do genuinely like Hamilton. But the cool thing about Blennerhassett Island, after Alexander Hamilton lost the duel with Aaron Burr.
After Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton.
Okay, he killed Alexander Hamilton, yes. Aaron Burr actually fled to Blennerhassett Island, and that kind of started the bad luck that trailed the Blennerhassett family. So it's really cool to be able to connect that super cool American history that's so mainstream, for the most part, and just kind of be able to be like, yeah, I know where Aaron Burr hit out.
Like, and the Blennerhassett Museum, which is across the river from the island, that we stay on, they actually have a death mask of Aaron Burr as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. History, kids!
History and death,
kids!
So how do you just have to get a boat to get to the island, or is it a ferry?
So they do tours throughout the day, just history tours throughout the day, and it's like a stern wheel paddle boat that'll take you over there, and then we go on the last boat of the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they actually pick up their tour guides, their history tour guides from the island, and drop us off, and then the boat leaves, and then it doesn't come back until 11 the next day.
Yeah.
So I mean, if there's an emergency, if somebody like cuts their arm off,
there's like a pontoon boat.
And the firefighters know that we're out there, and they'll bring they have a rescue boat, things like that. So you're not gonna probably not gonna die there, but we're literally if you get scared and you want to leave, you can't. You're there.
This is only for extreme emergencies only.
I'm not calling 911 to get you off the island if you pee your pants.
If you pee your pants, that's on you. You sleep in it. Bring extra clothes, be an adult, wear depends if you need to. It's literally just for emergencies, nothing.
Yeah,
nothing
else. we've never left it, knock on wood. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We love it there.
Yes.
And you get a lot of history with that one as well. They actually have a company that does horse-drawn carriage history tours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
And you get that included in your ticket. So your ticket includes, going the boat there and back and getting the history tour from their guides on the carriage. You can see the whole island. And then we do a paranormal history tour of the mansion.
The house and a little bit of land. The land itself. Yeah. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you get to do investigation inside the mansion. Mm-hmm. It is a museum. So it's not, I don't know what that noise was. Sorry.
It sounded like piano.
It did. It was weird. But... noises happen and mess me up. So you get to investigate in there. You can't really go in a lot of the rooms. They're kind of roped off, but you can sit your equipment in that room, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one house on the island that was actually moved there in the 1980s, I believe.
The Putnam Hauser House. It was moved there in the 1980s from
so much activity
Ohio.
At that house, just sitting on the porch. It's not really structurally sound right now. They're working on it still. Mm-hmm. But you can sit on the porch and investigate, and the spirit that's there does not like women. So we've had a good time.
Yeah. His mother actually died on the porch. Back porch because she went outside during a snowstorm, I think. And when she went to go back inside, it was one of those slam locks. So she to get back in, the door was locked and she was stuck outside.
She was elderly.
She was in her 80s, mm-hmm. something like that. So she ended up freezing to death on the back porch. So a lot of people have had interactions with her, not only outside, but also inside the house too.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know for me, in my personal experience, if I go in a room or something like that, if I'm in some place, I'll just get a warning in my head. Nope, not going in there. That's usually what I mean. That's how usually it works for me. Ash and I have explored places, and Ash is I'm not going in there. You can go in there, but there's something that's telling me I'm not going in that room. I'm like, okay.
You get hurt, get that. I don't want to be there. And then I'll be like, okay, I'll go.
That's
Yeah, usually. I'm the more sensitive one between the two of us.
Oh, definitely.
Sure.
I'm not sensitive at all, and that's why I don't have any fear. Because
right,
like,
yeah.
Go.
Kind of like charges in there, like yeah. Winnie the Pooh and fucking. What and what's that forest? The doo doo doo. I don't know.
100 Acre Forest.
Yeah, she's kind of just like doo doo doo.
Yeah.
But me, if I run into any sort of like wall or energy that just doesn't vibe with me, I'm like, nah, dog.
Yeah.
Peace out, and I don't go in there.
Oh, one of the other craziest things I think that's happened to us was in the Anchorage again. Of course, I mean it's where we spend most of our time, so
right.
We probably, you know, where we're gonna have most of our experiences, but. We had a chair thrown across the room that was completely locked. And
that was cool. Yeah. Yeah. We were investigating. It was a public ghost hunt, and there were about 4 or 5 people left, plus me and her. We wanted to investigate before the night was over, so we left the shop, and there was a chair, literally this type of chair right here. There was a chair in the shop that was just sitting up against the window. And we closed the door, we locked it, we had the key with us, the door for the shop, everything was locked up tight, and we went and investigated with everybody. As we're going around investigating, we were sitting, like, hunkering down in one particular room, and we heard, like, boom, 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 like, it sounded like a bear fucking wrestling something, but you just hear this, like, crash, bang, boom.
We're like, great, something broke.
Yeah, so we're going from room to room in the house trying to figure out exactly where that noise came from. We didn't even think to go into the shop because the shop is locked. There's nobody in there. There's no rhyme or reason why we would need to go in there because there's nobody gone in there. That was the very last room that we checked.
And we weren't thinking anything paranormal.
No.
Like,
you're thinking literally, more so someone tripped over something or someone knocked something over.
Something, yeah. Like, we weren't thinking, oh, you know. Huh.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
And the chair went from being right in front of the window to being 3/4 of the way to the door of the
upside
shop.
Down.
Upside down. So it got
and it's a heavy antique chair. Like, it is not anything. I mean, I don't, even if it was light, I don't know how that would happen, but it's like a wooden solid chair.
Yeah.
I can remember she was in front of me and she like unlocks the door and opens it and it's in the middle of the room. And I was like, holy fuck, how did that get there? Like, I was freaking out for a couple seconds because I was like, somebody's in there. What happened?
And
nobody.
My instant reaction of seeing that, and I was just like, all right, so we ready to go?
Yep. We're done.
Okay, we're done. And
we ended up finding out they were not very happy with us, and we ended up finding out why and taking care of that. And then they haven't thrown anything at us since then. Well, I can't say that. They've thrown pictures and stuff.
PQ was here that Friday night. Yeah. 2 books came off the shelf.
So they haven't knocked any chairs around since then.
Yeah. And they weren't even recording. I was so sad. We were in the shop and we were in there talking.
That's what usually happens.
It was randomly out of nowhere while we're standing there talking. 2 books went pew, pew, right one after another. I forgot to tell y'all about that. That was wild.
Yeah. So that stuff happens here all the time.
Yes.
Just random things just shuffling around and getting moved.
Yeah, yeah.
They turn lights on. That's one of their jokes that I say they have with me. Connection. They'll flip lights on. Like, so like we'll leave. Like, we have private investigations at 3 a.m. And sometimes it's by ourselves. So there's been nights where I've made sure all the lights are off after the group leaves. I'll go get in my car and they'll flip a light on in the house. And I'm like,
usually what I tell them is that if you don't plan on paying bills or getting a job, don't flip these lights off and on. You're not paying these bills, so you can't do that. So
I'll go in once and flip the lights back off. And then I'm like, guys, I'm not coming back in. Like, this is your last chance to leave them on.
I had a friend who worked at a brewery that was haunted, and this is in Boston. And he walked downstairs and it kept like knocking over barrels and turning on and off. And he literally just cussed at it and yelled at it to stop doing it. He's like, it never happened ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I just yelled at him and then it never happened.
Sometimes you just have to be stern with them. You really do have to put your foot down, especially if you're like us, we're constantly in this location. So we want to make it apparent, like, we're all here together. Mm-hmm. We're all sharing the space. We need to be respectful to each other. Like,
right.
We have one guy that doesn't like our taste in music.
No.
So he'll mess with our music and our speakers.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, okay, we'll play some jazz for a little bit, you know, calm down.
1920s, yeah. Like flapper music he likes.
Yep.
And we are right next to a nursing home.
Okay.
Still. Mm-hmm. So the nursing home that had this building built another nursing home in front of it.
Right, literally right outside this one.
So like, yeah, stuff can like travel.
Yeah. So we have our regulars, of course, and then we have some that are kind of like, what the hell just happened? What am I doing up here? You know,
well, like, that place is like, there's so much energy. So it's like a beacon. So they're just going to go walk to it. They're going to be like, mock to a flame. Oh, hey, there's something over here. I need to go check this out.
Yeah. And we say that we think because we kind of like open ourselves to it, that they're kind of like, oh my gosh, that person will speak to me and acknowledge me. And so we do kind of, I feel like, draw them in.
And I think what also, if I'm not mistaken, when we had a psychic come in here, we always leave the porch light on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when spirits are lost, they see a light and they come to it and they kind of end up here. The one thing that people always tend to ask us is, okay, well, how many spirits are here in the house? It's like, we have our normal cast of characters,
no idea.
Just like in a movie. Like we have the main cast and then we have the extras. Mm-hmm. We don't have any idea how many extras are in this production, but we know the name of every single main cast member for sure. It's just constantly changing. There was one time we ended up talking to a gentleman that had died down below at the nursing home just 2 weeks prior that was stuck in the house.
We found his obituary.
He told us his first and last name. We found his obituary. He told us that he wanted to be with his wife. His wife had passed on already.
And we're like, it's okay.
Yeah. So we had to help him kind of cross over.
And when you start that, when we start that process of like, you know, we'll walk you through this. It's okay to go. Mm-hmm. It's like opening up the floodgates.
Oh, yeah.
It takes hours because there's so many that then
we end up being like exhausted.
Yes, definitely. That are like, hey, me too. You know, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I can't say that we know what we're doing. We just kind of try to use equipment, speak to them. And
yeah, we just try to help.
Hope and that we're doing the best.
The one thing that I always stress to people is that we're not in the business of keeping spirits here just for the spook of it.
Right.
Like, of course, we love being able to be in a spooky location. We love to be able to have the paranormal things happening, but we don't want to keep anything here that does not want to be here. That's not why we do this. We do this purely for the history of it and genuinely for the fun of it. Yeah. Like,
and I would say keeping them alive, I guess, for the ones that want to be.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have one gentleman, Eddie, in the house. He's my favorite. I'm not afraid to say that to everybody here. And I tell him that all the time. we want to keep his memory alive. And he was very much involved in our town and like the musical aspect of our town. And I think he really appreciates that. Like he's not forgotten. He doesn't have any family here anymore. And and just keeping his, you know, momentum going, I guess we can say.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring music into the what we call the music room here. And we still call it the music room and we keep pianos in there and just because of him.
Mm-hmm. We like to make sure that we keep all the spirits here happy.
Definitely.
And if we find that they are not happy, we try to figure out how to make them happy. And if one of those things, just like Eddie, if it's playing music for him, then we're happy to do it. For Eliza, if it's coming in here just sitting and talking to her, then we'll absolutely do that. If it's bringing her flowers, we'll do that. If it's just staying out of Douglas's way, then we'll also do that.
He can be a grumpy old man.
He's very stern, and we always try to give him the respect that that's due.
I would say with that, though, like when we have our tours and we tell people, like, if you're going to go and investigate, even if you're a seasoned investigator, do not antagonize. Do not be rude.
No.
Like, this is their space.
Don't provoke.
Don't back bag into it because we won't have that whatsoever.
No.
We had one group come in and they were like that. Even after we told them not to, they were live on Facebook.
Oh, God.
They were live on Facebook and I was not here, but I was watching. We have a couple little girls in the house and they have two dolls and we're like, you can touch the dolls. Just tell them like, hey, I'm going to, you know, touch your doll or whatever. Let's play with the dolls. This group was not getting as much as they thought they should be getting live on Facebook. So one of the guys said, well, if you're not going to talk to me, I'm taking your doll with me. And he picked up the doll and started to walk down the stairs. And I was screaming at the phone at this point. And then all of a sudden they're on the phone, they're on the live feed, and they're like, we got to go. We got to stop live feed. Turn it off. Come to find out, the guy took the doll, started walking downstairs, became violently ill, and started puking.
Yeah.
He was done. They were actually from Michigan. And he was like, they had a hotel room here. They'd only been like an hour, hour and a half maybe.
Yeah, they investigating. Were, I think they were in like here overall for about 2 hours. They did like a 30-minute walkthrough. Just to get like acclimated with the house. And I mean, stuff.
They paid till 3 a.m.
They paid till 3 a.m. And they were only canceling here for
our hotel
2 hours.
Wow.
We're driving back home. They called us and told us that they were never coming back. And we're like, thank you.
Yeah, we didn't want
please don't. Like,
oh, darn. We're really heartbroken.
Oh, like that is one of the things that we stress. Like, this is their space.
And yeah.
If you're going to be rude to them, we don't care if they're rude back to you.
Yep.
Like,
you know what? One of my major rules is don't fuck with dolls.
Yeah. So like, we have a girl in our house that's like, no, I'm not touching dolls, yeah. too. It's all about
I have a couple of haunted dolls, and I just put them on a shelf. I'm like, okay, you're just going to be right there. You can just have your space, and that's it. Because we got them for our studio, and they were a gift. And I was like, you're just going to live right here, and that's going to be it. In my roommate, I was like, this thing's haunted. Don't fuck with it.
Do people give you like haunted, creepy stuff?
What's that?
Like, do people give you haunted, creepy stuff? Like
sometimes, some of my friends have given me stuff. People who have been on the show have given us stuff. People have sent us a couple of things. Yeah. I have, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Torso Murders back in the 1930s. Elliot Ness is like first
serial killer.
I was going to say, I probably know of it. I just don't know.
Right off the top of your head. I have a brick and a railroad spike that I found at one of the murder sites. From one of the body dump sites.
Like if somebody gives it to me, but I'm not taking it.
It was a we went to this area that was actually at this point it was like a construction yard, and it was a no trespassing. We were like, and it was like we were down there, and it ended up just being like it was a homeless camp at this point, but it clearly hadn't been used in like over a year. It was like the remains of a homeless camp, and we're looking around, and I found this like really awesome railroad spike, and I was like, okay, I'm taking this. But I have a friend. We did a haunted doll episode. We bought one on eBay, and then I have a friend. One of my friends gave me another haunted doll. Trying to think what else we have. Creepy artwork that people have made and stuff like that, and yeah, just people just give me just random shit. They're like, here, I don't want this anymore.
I love that too. I had a guy just a couple months ago come in with an antique picture.
Oh,
and he walked in and he like barely walked in the door and like stretched to hand me this thing. And he was like, I was doing construction on a house. I knocked down a wall and found this. If it's what I think it is, I don't want it. And I grabbed it, and it's a postmortem picture of a baby. And I said, it is what you think it is. And he was like, well, would you please take it? And I was like, we'll hang it on my wall. And
she is up in our wall, in our shop. As soon as you walk in, she is on the wall to the right. She is gorgeous.
Yeah. So we had people do that. We did have somebody give us a haunted doll, and we passed it along.
We passed that along.
We're friends with Steve Hummel, and he has the Archives of Afterlife Museum. So if we get anything, we don't feel like we can do it justice, we pass that along to him.
Mm-hmm. He's more than welcome to take it too, as well.
Yes.
That's always lovely.
He's more than willing to take it.
Yes.
But we have people give us cool things like that too.
And then I have a lot of friends who are like, hey, I found this. What should I do with it? I was like, don't keep it.
Yeah.
Like, there's that too. It's like just donate it. Like don't throw it away. Just don't don't fuck with it. Just get rid of it. Depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
But I have a lot of in my house I have a lot of weird shit. So I have 70 decks of tarot cards because I collect them from all different eras and different ages. I have some really old occult books and shit like that. So
if you're into, don't tickle my feet, you weirdo. Sorry. If you're into true crime, serial killer stuff, Steve Hummel's museum has some really cool stuff.
Oh yeah.
He has, are you into true crime? Serial? Yeah. Okay. So he has the Bible that Eileen Wuornos, her last Bible,
Wow.
In his shop.
Yeah. He also has graveyard dirt from H.H. Holmes' grave.
So I went there. Not his grave. I went to when I was in Chicago. I actually went to the post office that's now the H.H. Holmes. That's the site of his original hotel. And it's in one of the worst areas of Chicago. And the post office has like bullet holes covered in it.
Oh, wow.
So we went there, hung out for about 5 minutes. We're like, okay, we need to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Chicago.
No, I just went there, took some pictures. And I'm obsessed with H.H. Holmes. So I was like, I just really wanted to go. I was like, I'm in Chicago. I need to go to where the hotel was.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So doing these like macabre tours of random shit.
Yes.
Like every time I go to a city or a town, like my first thing is like, okay, I have to go check out like one of the local spook place.
Right.
I have to go check
it out. Yeah. That's one of our favorite things too.
Yeah, we go to a place and we try to find some of the creepiest stuff.
Like the weirdest things. It doesn't even have to be creepy, just the weirdest.
Yeah, we just went to New Orleans as well, and they finally opened up the St. Louis Cemetery number 1, mm-hmm. where the voodoo queen Marie Laveau is buried. Mm-hmm. So we finally got to go and do a tour in there. We got to take pictures around her her mausoleum. Obviously there were a few other people that were buried there that had a lot of interesting history. Nicolas Cage has his his obelisk. It's like a giant like pyramid right smack dab in the center of all of this.
Like a bright white.
Yep.
So bright white. And it's so obnoxious. And it's so gaudy.
Back when he had money, so he bought it.
Exactly. He has left now.
As far as like his stuff that he had in New Orleans, that's the only thing that he has left down there.
Yep.
I guess he had like tax trouble with the IRS. Mm-hmm. He actually did own the house that Madame Lullerie used to torture slaves and stuff, and used to have like a whore. It was just what would you say? Like,
he owned a T-Rex head at one point. He owned a legit T-Rex skeleton. A T-Rex skull. This is one of the reasons why he like filed for bankruptcy, because he went and bought all this weird shit. So,
well, I feel like we could be friends.
Honestly, I would fucking love to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Financial advice, but I would totally be friends
with him. I would absolutely be friends with him, but I will not ever take any sort of financial advice. If he asked me for $5, I'd be like, dude, no, you're not good for it. I'm not. I would not. No, I wouldn't even flip you a quarter, because you wouldn't give it back. Like, honestly.
But yeah, we love going to spooky places full of history as well. Yeah. Not even spooky, I mean, but if, like I said, it goes hand in hand with us. If there's history there, it's gonna be spooky.
Yeah, and we always try to make sure that whenever we go places, it always is like a research trip, and it always circles right back to
what we can do better,
what we can improve better, and how we can improve on our tours, our investigations, and everything. It's all, every place that we go is always going to be something new to learn, and we're always open to learn something new about a location. With going down to New Orleans, even though a lot of people wouldn't necessarily make the connection to like, oh, why is Hidden Marietta going down to New Orleans? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Marquis de Lafayette was a French Revolutionary War hero. He was also kind of like a French explorer, and he traveled throughout the entire US of A, and he was genuinely in love with this country. And not only did he stop down there, but he also stopped here in Marietta, Ohio. He was Marietta's first tourist. His ship actually landed right in front of where the Lafayette Hotel is. It always just circles right back. And
there's a bunch of connections with Lafayette down there. I mean, there's Lafayette, Louisiana. So we
always make that connection. We always love to be able to make that historical connection with where we are, to where we plan on going, to where we've been, and it's all connected, really. Yeah, it's a big spider web.
So you guys have your website. It's hiddenmarietta.com, where you can find all your ghost tours. Also has all the information about the Hidden Marietta Paranormal Expo, which is going to be on May 6th.
Yes, May 6th at 10 o'clock.
10 to 4.
10 to 4. We also have our Facebook page and our Instagram page that we update on a regular basis. And then we also have our TikTok that I like to make stupid, ridiculous.
They're pretty fun. They're pretty entertaining.
That's awesome.
You got to keep up with the kids, you know.
Yes.
I know. You do have to pepper in like a few historical things. I try to make it like a good balance. But we have all sorts of social media. We always make sure that we update our events on a constant basis on our website and all of our socials and everything. So, it's always fun.
Yeah, and you'll be at our expo.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Ashley and I will both be there. Yay. I'm really excited. So yes. I want to say Viva and Karita. Well, yes. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really bad with names. I always screw up that's just like my normal thing. I screw up everybody's names. I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show today. This was an amazing. Maybe we can touch base again after the expo and have Ashley on. We could share more ghost stories.
Expo. I'm sure you
we're actually going to be recording at the expo. We're gonna be like recording random stuff. So we'll probably be seeing you guys again.
Everybody that comes is so willing to like tell you all their experiences. Oh yeah, so
absolutely. Yep.
You just have a whole show of expo experience.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we're planning already probably getting like 3 episodes out of it.
Yes, awesome.
So all right, well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I had a great time talking to you guys.
Yes, too. Thanks.
And you guys have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Ha 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 ha!